like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity to lift up his name and give him praise and honor. My friend, we're living in the days that were spoke about by the prophet Daniel and other prophets back way back before we ever was, and included these days at which we now live. But Nebuchadnezzar, one time, he had a dream, and the dream was a head of gold, and silver was his arms and chest, and the belly was bronze, and the things and iron and was in the legs and clay mixed in the feet. My friend, this represented the rulers of the world. And back in that time, Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold, and he was, God blessed him in that. But it went on down the lines till it comes to the place where Daniel spoke about that he seen a stone hewed out of the mountain without hands and smote the image at its feet, where the clay and the iron, you know, clay and iron don't mix, but it's a type of religion. Rome was the last known ruler of the world, you might say. But now it's come to the time that people need to understand that Rome is not gone away. It's all built into this Roman Catholic Church of religion, you might say, mixed in with that. And the clay was part of that. My friend, it's come to the time we got to understand that when Daniel seen the stone hewed out of the mountain and destroyed all of it, now God's true church, that which he purchased with his own blood, is not going to be destroyed. There's many people that's trying to destroy it because of their false teachings and doctrines they come up with, and their charismatic way of doing things and all. But the true church of God, them that have been really born again, born of the water and of the Spirit, and received the Spirit of God in them, being led by the Spirit, is out doing the will of God. My friend, that it's come to the time to where in that we've got to come out from among the world and be separated, saith the Lord, and he would receive us. Well, what does he mean by come out from among the world? We look at these things that the world has to offer, and some people are so engulfed in them until they've got to have their to be involved in these things. My friend, it's come to the time to where we're going to have to separate ourselves from the worldly pleasures, you might say, and seek after the kingdom of God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and body. If we intend to make it into the kingdom, we got to come out from among the world. Jesus told the apostles there, he said, telling them about that, he said, I have overcome the world. The only way that we're going to be able to overcome the world is to be, just give us life to the Lord and obey his will and his way. My friend, Nebuchadnezzar was the one that God chose and made him ahead of it, but as down through the years it came along with the Roman Empire, and it was classified as iron, and it went about destroying everything, tried to destroy things, but then it came along with the religious part of it, which makes up the Catholic Church today, and it goes along, and when Daniel seen the stone hewed out of the mountain without hands, that represented the kingdom of God. And he said the stone hit it at the feet and the rest of it just turned to nothing, you might say, and the chaff, like where you get the chaff off of the wheat and stuff and the floors. But now we need to look at the situation with them being mixed up with the clay. Well, it's got a religious type into it, was the clay part. And that's my thought of it, and mixed in. But you know that clay and iron don't mix, so it is part strong and part weak. So when a stone hewed out of the mountain without hands, smote it at the feet, and it turned it into nothing, you might say. And the wind blew it away, and the stone that was hewed out of the mountain grew and filled the whole earth. Jesus is coming back one of these days, my friend. And the things that which is going to happen, he's going to destroy all of these things. We look at the time that when the children of Israel was going through the time of the out of Egypt's bondage in the wilderness, that rock that followed them wherever they went was Christ Jesus. Right. That's the water they drank out of. Moses got in trouble because instead of speaking to the rock, he hit it with his cane, so he never got able to go into the kingdom of God. A lot of preachers won't tell you about these things, but my friend, it's come to the time you need to realize that God is sovereign. He don't need us, but we need him desperately, especially in these days which now we live. These kingdoms that set up, it come back, and Daniel showed it there, and then it's going to come to the place that we're in that God's going to destroy it all. So now where are you going to be if you're engulfed into all of the things of the world and all these tribal things and these here traditions of man's traditions and all these here celebrations that goes on that is all it is of the world. There's no truth in it, and it's all brought up out of the pits of hell and has deceived a lot of people. That's why that the Lord himself and the apostles warned us about the false teachers that would come, and they came. And during Constantine's time came along, and he changed a lot of things around, but he worshiped the sun. And it was on the 25th day of December, but now false teachers has come along and Catholicism and made it Jesus' birthday. My friend, that's as far as east is from west for being true. It is just not simply understandable that we got to understand that that time of the year that you take a baby being born out in an open barn, well, in common sense ought to tell you that that's not true. But lambs are born in the spring of the year, not in the dead of winter. All these things are false teachings, my friend. They're just the way that Catholicism and the false teachers of the world today is trying to make you feel like that you're celebrating the Lord's birthday. There's no Bible to say that when he was born. But nevertheless, we got to understand that in the dead of winter, it wouldn't have made it, my friend. But anyway, the wise men found him in a home, 2 years old. They brought him, give him gold and frankincense and things. And the goal was that they was going to have to make a travel from there, from Jerusalem down to Egypt and be there until Herod had died away, like the angel of the Lord told them. The gold supplied their needs. The frankincense and thing was for the anoint of burial of a dead. So put it all together, my friend, it's come time that we need to understand that this Christmas thing along with this Easter is all wrong the way you celebrate it. I've done it myself for a long time, but when God began to deal with me, like no doubt that some of you, well, that man don't know what he's talking about. I thought the same thing. But as I began to study and read, I find that the Bible is truth, my friend. There was no special day given that when Jesus was born, nor even at the time that he was resurrected. There's no date given. But we celebrated in there the 25th day of December. It just don't make sense to me anymore. I used to do it, but now God has revealed to me that it's a false teachings and religion. And come out from among it, my friend. Be ready to accept the challenge that God would give you if you accept his word above all of this other Catholicism and all this other false teachings and lies that comes along from different religions. Oh, my friend, it come time when we got to understand that back in the 300 years back in those days, there was all kinds of stuff come around. Man ruled and man this and man that. It's come to the place that we need to understand that God has control over all things and he rules from heaven above. He's got it all down, and from the last dot of the I and the cross of the T is going to be fulfilled. We see these things being fulfilled today, and it's come to the time that we're in that so many people are just running rampant throughout the world. You find that there are a lot of these things are happening that Bible speaks about as perilous times. Perilous times is upon us, my friend. If you realize and know what's going on around the world, people have been sitting in their automobiles or going down the road and some devil-possessed person comes along and shoots them or does something other of that nature and kills them. They go in there and shoot up a whole gang of them like that. It's perilous times. Why not accept what God has to say instead of listening to, oh, things is going to get better? Well, that's a lie out of hell. They ain't going to get no better until the Lord comes and sets up his kingdom. And if you're not a part of the kingdom of God, if you're not a born-again saint of God, or a Christian rather, been washed in the blood of the Lamb, your sins been forgiven and cleansed, baptized in his name, you're liable to not to make it, my friend. You're liable to go down the tube, as the old saying goes. There's only two places that God said that a man could go, and that's into the kingdom of God or in the domains of hell. And a lot of people is going into the hell because of false teachings and religions instead of going into the kingdom of God, because even a fool would say that there is no God, but there's a lot of people that are that way saying that there is no God and saying that some people says that the resurrection had already passed and goes on to say. But my friend, it's come to the time we need to read the Bible. We need to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, and be not ashamed. My friend, God is not going to be mocked. He's going to have his last words, and it's either going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, or enter in. So I would rather to hear him say, enter in, I would rather to you to enter in too. But we can't do it by following after the world's things of religion and after all these denominations that's come along after the Church of Councils there, which was mostly oriented by the Roman Catholic Church, and they come up with all kinds of things. They separated themselves and saying, we're not going to be Roman Catholic Church, but they follow in the footsteps of her, so the Bible says that they are her daughters. The old whore church is their daughters, them that practice in the same thing, having three gods, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, instead of having Jesus as his name. They come to the place that we're in that somewhere down the road, you're going to have to come to realize that God's word is true. God was manifested in the flesh. If you read the first chapter of John, and you'll find out the word was in the beginning and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. How dumb can you have to be before you can understand that? It's come to the time that you're going to have to separate yourself from the world and all these here follies that goes around Disney World and this Christmas celebration, celebrating the Lord's birthday and calling it his birthday, which it's not, and then celebrate his resurrection with rabbits and Easter eggs and so on and so forth, which is completely out of order with God's teachings and everything. The apostles never done that, but I heard a fellow say, oh, he called me, and he said, I was wrong three times. The early church, in which the only one that I knew of that done this was the Catholic Church. My friend, the apostles didn't do it. There was none of them that went and celebrated his birthday on the 25th day of December. They didn't celebrate his resurrection with eggs and rabbits and so on and so forth like that. When he arose and he come to the understanding there, when Mary seen him there and she recognized him when he spoke to her, and she said, Rabboni, which means master there. And so when he told her not to touch him, for he had not yet sinned. But go and tell his apostles that he go before him and he'd meet him in Capernaum there. And when he got there, he came into the room where it was locked. And he told him, feel of me, see me, and everything. And eat honeycomb and fish with him. Seeing that he was had flesh about him, it seemingly to be, but it was that glorified body, my friend, which that we, if we are born again and we come to be in the kingdom, we'll have that same celestial body that Jesus had. Because this old flesh and blood ain't going to inherit eternal life. It ain't going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's not going to enter into the kingdom of God. It's got to be changed from mortal to immortality, from corruption to incorruption. It's got to come forth as God said it would to enter into his kingdom. It's come to the time that when people are got so mixed up into the world that they worship the things of the world rather than worshiping God. They put God on the back burner and they await and say, well, it'll come a time when I get closer to my dying time, then I'll call upon the Lord and get saved. My friend, if you wait until that late, you're liable to not to make it at all, because there's been a lot of people that's been snuffed out. Their life has been snuffed out without even a hope of saying anything. Instantly gone, but they've been worn down through the years before that time comes. And death comes to you. It's over with, my friend. You've got no other alternative but death. Brings you into the grave. The grave you go into and you rest there until the judgment of God. And it's either going to come forth in the kingdom of God or it's going to remain to be there to the second judgment. Death, hell, and the grave gives up the dead, and them names not in the Lamb's book of life will be cast again into hell, which is the second death. It's up to you. I would rather, if I had any authority over you, I would say get right with God. Because any time your life could end, you don't know. I don't know how long I got. I've been around for a while, but nevertheless, I still don't know that tomorrow be mine to behold, no more so than you. It's time to make it our peace with our Creator, the Lord God of glory, and let him come into life. Because when that time comes that all these here things, the government rules and everything from the gold right on down to the iron and the clay mix, when that stone takes it all away and destroys it all, there ain't going to be no more Gentiles around and about then. God's kingdom is going to be set up to them that are born again, whether he's Jew or Gentile, that them are born again. Used to be that the Gentile wasn't even considered to be a people. They were under a curse of death without any hope. Jesus came and gave us hope. When he come there and died for our sins, he fulfilled the situation that he told Abraham that out of his seed all nations would be blessed. If he had not have fulfilled that, then us Gentiles would have had no hope to begin with. We would have been lost from the get-go. No hope. But in Christ Jesus, we have hope. But when he turns his all back to the Jewish people, the Gentile race thing will be over with. And if you look into the scriptures there about him being the new temple being born, he told the prophet there to measure the temple and the altar there and them that worship there, but leave the other part out because it was given unto the Gentiles and they'll tread it down. But when it comes time there, my friend, when it comes the day that the Lord's going to come and claim his own, you need to be ready. Because if you ain't ready, you ain't going to make it. And the only way I can tell you to be ready is you repent, being godly sorry, raising your hand and saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and then walking the same old road that you've been walking on, ain't going to get it. You're going to go down the tube. You're going to bust hell wide open. I've had my heart was then set, and when I was an old boy, a sinner, done just about everything that a sinner could normally do, but when God got a hold of me and shook me right down to my shoelaces, you might say, and everything that was in me, let me know that if I laid down and died tonight and didn't wake up for tomorrow, that I would bust hell wide open. And friend, it put the fear of God in me. Some of you need to get the fear of God in you. I've got some children. I wish you could get a hold of them and do them the same way and make them fear from their life being spent in hell for eternity. Oh, my friend, it's a good example the Lord made there when he spoke about the rich man and the Lazarus. Pay attention to the word of God. Listen to it. Read it. Study it. Show you that you need God. God don't need you, but he'd rather for you to repent. He'd rather for the whole world to come unto repentance rather than go down into the pits of hell. The hell was just made there for the devil and all them that desired to go. Do you desire to go to hell? Well, if you do, just do whatever you're doing. Keep on the old road of Broadway of destruction. That's where you wind up. But if you desire not to go there, now is the time that you need to make it right with the Lord. Because when the images tore down, all human things are destroyed. All human government is gone, where the Gentile thing is gone. And if you into that part of the world, you're going to go with it. My friend, it's time that you make it right with the Lord. Let him come into your life and let him rebirth you, change your heart, and have the renewing of mind that you would come to the knowledge of the truth and shun the wrong. As I said a while ago, just a little bit ago, I used to be in with all this year celebrating Christmas and egg hunting and all that kind of stuff and everything until the Lord began to deal with me. And when as he dealt with me, I thought, if I go and preach that over the airways and it goes out to people, it's going to make fun of me and all that. But my friend, you can make fun of me all you please. You can say that man don't know what he's talking about. I'm going to go ahead and do this. This is a part of it. This is serving the Lord, worshiping him on his birthday with all this stuff. Go ahead. I can't prevent you from doing it. But when it comes time to stand before the Lord, and he says, because you did not come out from among the world and you associated yourself with the world and its activities, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. He let me understand that I either had to come out from among the world or I would be lost with the world. So I began to understand. There's only one way into the kingdom, and that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And all these other things, these worshiping days and everything that people have, it come from false teachings and doctrines, my friend. It just don't fit the Bible. Doesn't give you no scriptures that I have found, and I've heard others say the same thing, that they could find scriptures that the date that he was born or the date that he was done, anything that would give you the idea that he was born on the 25th day of December. But common sense ought to tell you that he wasn't. If you realize that in that time of the year, in an open barn, and a baby come out of the mother's womb and be wrapped in swaddling clothes, something a little about cheesecloth side, and then put out there in the cold weather as it is in December, I don't think that would be proper. Even though it was God in the flesh, even though he takes heed to the times of the seasons and things, lambs are born in the spring of the year, and he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. John, even when he come up to where he was baptized, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He was considered a lamb slain from the family. So lambs had to be born in the spring of the year. That's my understanding. Been around for a while. I've been in on farms and done work on farms and everything. Been around when animals was born. And the lambs ain't born in the 25th day of December because the breeding time won't allow it to be. The breeding time gives them their the time that when they bred until the time of birth, and it's somewhere in this warm weather. My friend, be real. Get our hearts right with the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. You've, like myself, you slopped around in the world and done all kinds of things. Maybe not all kinds of things, but sin in any case. If you're guilty of the least, you're guilty of it all. So whatever it was you done, and you didn't do the other, but if it was sinful, it was still guilty of it all. So, my friend, it's come time that we need to understand that God is sovereign. He don't need you and I, but we need him desperately. And in these days that we live now, when this perilous time's come, you don't know when that some devil-possessed person will come up to, and just haul off and shoot you or stab you or however else, or run into you walking down the street with an automobile like so many of them have crashed into crowds and everything, went into places and shot it up and killed people and everything. You just never know when the devil's going to bring them up. We're living in perilous times, my friend. So it's time today. Tomorrow may be too late. I encourage you to read your Bible, to find out what God has to say about these days at which now we live, for they are perilous times. And it's coming the time that the Lord's going to come very soon and take his bride out. There's evidence of showing that even if you read your Bible, you'll find it. Now, Jerusalem has been the capital of the world with Trump bringing it up. Others have said they were going to do it, but they never did. But the proper time wasn't then. That temple is going to be built. That peace treaty is going to be signed. I don't know the day or the hour, but I don't believe it's going to be that far away. Maybe the next 2, maybe 3 years, it's all going to come. But when that peace treaty is signed and Israel comes into the peace with the Palestinians and everything, and they build their temple, my friend, you need to have your heart right and your sins under the blood of the Lamb, because time is just about run out for the Gentile to be saved and for all that wants to be. Because when the Lord comes and them's left behind, we've heard of people there coming about them left behind, the this and that. And one thing, they made a movie in Hollywood where they built a big ship and it was iron that claimed to be indestructible. Well, I don't think that's going to work, but Hollywood's made all kinds of things to come look like, or real and everything. But that's, my friend, it's going to come to the time when Hollywood's pictures is going to mean zilch, absolutely nothing. So if you got your hope built in that, change your mind, change your heart, get God in your life, because he's our only hope. He gave us hope at Calvary, where we were a people, a Gentile people, was not even considered a people, not much more than dogs is what we were. But when we got Jesus came and brought us into the kingdom, where we was not a people, now we are the children of God, which has been born again. If you ain't been born again, were you Jew or Gentile? You're a sinner. You're lost without God. But now, if you've been born again, repent of your sins and accept the price that God paid for our sins, giving his only begotten Son, paid the price for our sins, our own Calvary, with his life and blood, and you accept that, and the blood of Jesus has been applied and you've been forgiven, walk in the light of the gospel, my friend. No longer dabble down around in the darkness of this world with its games and everything. Walk in the light of the gospel. Follow after him with your whole heart and follow him with everything that is within you, and look to him to be the author and the finisher of your faith. Daniel and his companions, they call him Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they sought God for the truth. They were children that hung on to God. And Daniel was given the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, right down to the very nitty-gritty, you might say. And he let him know that that stone would fill the earth, and that was the kingdom of God. That stone that was hewed out of the mountain without hands was Christ Jesus. He come and that stone smote that image. And if you're in that part of the thing, my friend, you'll go down in defeat. like the chef was, when they was on the floor out there, they beaten the husk off of the grain and everything, and they'd throw it up into the air, and the wind would blow the husk away, and the grain was all that was left. But my friend, it's come to the time that when you need to be the grain and not the husk, because the husk could be done away with, be thrown in the fire, and it'd be burned up. The husk is no good. It's just, and that's the way sinners are in God's kingdom. They're just not going to be no part. They're not going to have any part. But my friend, it's come time you need to get it right. As I've often told you, the day is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. You may not have the chance tomorrow. I may not be around. I might go to meet my end any time, as well as you. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. There's no way that we can have a promise there, find it in the scriptures there where you've got the promise of tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late for us. Today, call upon the name of the Lord. Seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, because the times that we're living are close to the Lord's return, but they're perilous times. We're living in the last days. Right. Whether people want to believe it or not is not going to change the fact. I don't know that I wouldn't be afraid to say that some has made fun of me and said, oh, that guy don't even know what he's talking about, but everything. Well, that's all right. That's between them and their Lord. But I believe that God has called me to do this. And as I told him, I said, Lord, I'm not much on speaking, but when I stand up and open my mouth, if you don't put something in it, it's going to be standing there with my mouth open. And he's never let me down, my friend. He won't let you down. All you need is to call upon him, repent, turn to him. He will welcome you in as the prodigal son's dad welcomed him in with open arms and had a feast for a return. The angels in heaven rejoice at the return of one into the kingdom of God. We all come short of the glory of God. We need him. He existed even before he created all things. And he made man out of the dust of the earth. Now you can figure that. We got all the material that's in the dirt in our body. That's why it takes so many different things. We make it up to the body of Christ. But my friend, it only takes that humble before God to repent and turn from the sins of the world and be born again of the water and of the Spirit. It's been godly sorrow, because you, as I, and all others, born in sin and shaped in iniquity, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all men should repent. As David penned, he said, I would that men everywhere would just praise the Lord. I concur with him. Praise him. Worship him in spirit and truth. Give him honor and glory, for he deserves it. You don't deserve no honor and glory. You're born and made out of the dust of the earth. Stuff that you walk on, people, or you walk on the dirt just like I do. We were made out of that, molded and imaged in the image of God and in his likeness. But when Adam disobeyed God, been taken of the tree of a forbidden fruit, he come to be not like God. He didn't have that a godly glow about him and everything. He became a sinner, a man of the world. He needed to be born again. God, down through the years, fulfilled the promise to Abraham that out of his seed that all nations would be blessed. He come along there and blessed us there with giving his only begotten son. God himself came into this world, loved you and I enough that he came and gave his life. They didn't take it. He gave his life and shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. He gave his life and shed his blood for you and I, which was nothing but dirt. But he loved us enough that he came into this world and died for us. Can't you love him enough that you would repent and live for him? If you don't, my friend, I don't know. You've got to be something different from what I figured that a person would be. You got to be a cold-hearted person to not think and believe God. It'd be like the Bible says only a fool would say that there's no God.
Right.
And if you get down to the place to where you believe that there is no God, you don't believe what the scripture says. And many preachers are preaching the same thing I'm preaching. He may use a different word, but basically the same message. We need to repent. Jesus is coming soon, and he's going to destroy all this humanism stuff like that. The Gentiles was the second choice God made. The Jews was his first choice. They disobeyed him to the place that they rejected him as to being their king, and he put them on the back burner. He didn't put Israel just completely do away with it. He put them on the back burner to where you and I, Paul or Saul, rather, on the road to Damascus, going there to bring people, which were the Jewish people, them that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, bind them and put them in jail. Like he binded the clothes there while Stephen's was being stoned to death, calling upon the Lord. And he called out. He said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. My friend, it's come time you got to realize there's only one hope that you and I've got, and that's in Christ Jesus. And if we don't have him, the only hope you got is nothing. Only hope you got is death, burial, and resurrection. And the resurrection that you'll come into will be that second resurrection where death, hell, and the grave gives up the dead and then is cast again into hell as a second death. The only resurrection, the first resurrection is going to be them that are dead in Christ. They're going to come forth from corruption to incorruption, them that remain to be alive. And you and I could be alive, but we'd be changed, not in this old body, but it'd be changed from mortal to immortality. And meet the Lord in the air. My friend, I want you to be in that number. I want to be there. That's why I'm telling you that people today has just got so engulfed in the things of the world until they just completely forgot about God in many cases. Remember, he died for your sins. He gave you the opportunity and to make a choice. He gave you that opportunity. You can choose today. As Joshua told the children of Israel when they crossed over the Jordan River into the promised land, and he told them all, he said, choose you this day to whom you serve. Will you serve the God on this side or the other side? The other side was where they come out of Egypt. Will you serve the God of this side? Will serve the true and living God, the God of promise, the God that brought them forth. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. My desire is for my house, my children and my grandchildren and all to come to the Lord. There's some of them walking the broad road to destruction, but they have been told, just like you may have, if you're a Christian, you may have warned your children. But they keep on keeping on. But one day, if they don't change their life and let God come into their life and repent, they're going to wish they had. Wishes is not going to do him any good. Oh, I wished I'd have done things different. That ain't going to change what you already done in the past. What's done by repenting is the only change can come to your life. And you walk in the light of the gospel. Calling upon the name of the Lord. Let be led by the Spirit. That the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. My friend, it's come time to worry in that you need to pay attention to the Word of God. Read it for yourself. Not wait on somebody else to tell you. They tell me the Catholic Church tells them not to read the Bible. It's too confusion. It'll get them all messed up. They would read it and interpret it for them and tell them what to do. Well, when you get to relying upon man to tell you what to do, man is not, he's not infallible. God's the only infallible one, and his word is infallible. His word is truth. He will lead you and guide you into all truth if you let him. But if you determine to follow after man and his facetious ways and after the ways of false teachings and doctrines, celebrating all this here kind of stuff because it pleases the flesh, you got to come out from amongst it, my friend. You got to be separated from the world. As God so told him, he said, come out from among the world and be you therefore separated, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Mingling and mixing around and dabbling around with sin in the world is not going to be pleasing to God. And there's going to come a time when we're all going to face up to the judgment of God. When the time that when the bema seat of Christ, that's when them that are born again comes up and be rewarded for their deeds they done in this life. I want to have somebody to say, welcome home anyway. Whether I get a crown of gold or not is not important to me. It's to get into the kingdom, because whatever there, it's going to be to eternal life. No more sickness, no more aches and pains, no more death, no more sorrow, no more party in the kingdom of God forever. But when you cast out of into outer darkness, there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, tormented for eternity from now on forever. My friend, it's your choice. You can choose today to whom you serve. You're going to serve the world and all this here way of doing things and keep trotting down that broad way of destruction through that wide gate and fall headlong into hell. It's your fault, not God's. It's your choice. He made you that way to choose in that way. But let me encourage you, choose to serve the Lord. Turn to the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. Give him praise and honor. Lift in his name up. Being born of the water and of the Spirit. Let God come into your life and teach you what you need to know concerning him and eternal life. He'll lead you and guide you, but you got to repent. You can't do it by just saying, oh, Lord, come into my life and walk in the same old trail you've been on. I've seen it happen, my friend. It didn't work for them. I just don't see whether it's going to work for anybody, because God said he has no respect of person, and that was not the way it came to me. I come to be fearful of God, fearing that if I laid down and died, I'd go to hell, and I didn't want to go to hell. That fear come in me, and I went and repented, being godly sorrow, crying out to the Lord with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, asking him to forgive me of my sins. And that raising hand, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. That ain't the way I got it. And I don't believe God's going to give to them something other in that nature when he required of me to do it different. Or I've seen others do it different. Held on. They got a hold of the horns of the altar and they held on there crying out to God until he prayed through, know that God had forgiven, and he rejoiced in his spirit and let know that he had been born again, because he can tell. You can tell. But my friend, it's time that we need to understand. Time is running out. Time is going to quit one day. Time will come to the end, because of the angel standing up on one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, and raise his right hand and declare that time no more. That's too late. There ain't no more time. Time is gone. I mean, it stopped, ceased. But the things that God is going to bring forth hereafter, that day is going to be in his time, which you and I don't know how to count his time. His time is infinite. He don't have no time. He don't look at time like we do. He's the God of the universe, and he created everything with a word from his mouth. He created it all. He is the sovereignty of God. He don't need you and I, but we need him, or at least wise. I feel like we need him. I need him. Now, whether you feel like you need him or not, that's a different situation. That's you. But I feel like I need him every moment of my life. As a breath still warm from his nostrils, I feel like that's how much I need him. the breath of life that he gave, that image that was laid there of dirt, when he breathed into its nostrils and it became a living soul. When I breathe that breath, when I come from my mother's womb and I breathe that breath of life, it come from God, my friend, because there's been a lot of them that never had that breath give to them. They was dead just as a child. Now we've got this here stuff going on around the world. They killing the young babies before they even born and going about and all this perverted sex business and everything like that. Men with men and women with women. All these things is an abomination in the sight of God. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for it, and he ain't going to call them up and repent for them. But these that does these things are going to answer to God, and he's going to cast it all sin and iniquity is going to be bound and cast into hell in outer darkness. You don't want to be that part, my friend. You want to come out from amongst the world and be therefore separated and let God come into your life and lead and teach you. My wife was not feeling well. There's a reason why come she's not on with me, but I hope that we've said something other that would encourage you to turn to the Lord and turn to him. Read your Bible. Let him come into your life and he'll teach you and learn, teach you that what you need to know and bring you to the fullness and help you to live the life. You can't do it by yourself. But with him helping you, he said he would go with us even unto the end of the world. But you got to have him on your side. The Bible teaches it. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? When you're born again and you receive that Spirit of God, he lives within you. He's not something that's far off down the road down there and you got to wait until he gets. He's presently with you. Right. All the days of your life, once you've been born again, accept him as your personal savior. He's with you. He'll go with you even unto the end of the world. But if you've not been born again, he's not with you. He's there. But until you receive him, open the door of your heart and let him come in and he's up with you. Until you do that, he's on the outside. And you out of the kingdom of God. My friend, the only way you can be born again is ask him to forgive you of your sins, repent, and let him come into your life and be born again. You'll know the difference when you used to walk and when you really truly get born again. I don't mean raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I've seen that happen many times and it didn't work. It didn't work because they go around and I don't believe this and I don't believe that. If you've been born again, you're going to take the word of God and read it. And it's going to come to the place of where in Isaiah penned there. And he said, who has believed the report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? When you've been born again of the water and of the spirit, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior, he's going to reveal himself to you. You're going to understand the things if you'll let him teach you. He will lead and guide you into all truth. But without him, you're liable to walk any old way you old flesh desires to go. I know I've been there, but since I've been repented of my sins and allowed the Lord to come into my life, he changed me, my friend, and I'm so glad. I hope you'll listen and put it all together. Other preachers are preaching similar these things like that there. Jesus is coming soon, and our only hope is in him. He comes, and when he comes to claim his bride, the bride of Christ, when he comes to claim her, them that have been born again of the water and of the spirit, when he calls that last trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel calls, and you, the dead in Christ rise first from corruption to incorruption. Them to remain to be alive will be changed to meet the Lord in the air. You want to be there? I do. I want you to be there. But the only way we're going to be there is repent, calling upon the name of the Lord, allowing him to lead and guide us. All people need to be led by something other, and somebody are led by the spirit of hell, and he calls them to do things that normally they wouldn't do, but they do them because they obey their master. Our friend, get right with God. The children of the devil is going to reap the whirlwind, but the children of God is going to reap eternal life. It's time we got to understand that, like I've said many a time, God is sovereign. He was before we ever was. He was before the world was formed. He formed the world, spoke it into existence, and he made man in his own image in the dust of the earth, and he brought us forth there. He created all things, but man has come around and destroyed his creation in such a way with these things and all, and everything that they've done to destroy his creation. Going to have to give an account to it one of these days. But nevertheless, until that time comes, you need to get your heart right with the Lord, because he's coming sometime soon. And when that time comes and he says, come up here, and if you gravitation of this earth, I turn you loose and you go beat with the Lord. And if you're not ready, you're not going to make it.
Right.
And them that's left behind, I don't know. Them that was left behind when the flood came up was all destroyed. They didn't get into the ark. It was plenty of opportunity. 120 years that Noah was building the ark was telling them about the end. The flood was coming. They didn't believe him. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming too soon, and you don't believe it, it's going to catch you, and you're going to be the one to lose out. But believe what the Word of God says. Read it for yourself. Not because I said it, but read it for yourself. Find out what he has to say about these days that we now live. And you'll find out that the truth is in the pudding, as the old saying goes. The truth is in the letters that the apostles wrote. Paul was chosen on the road to Damascus. He was an old man that was trying to destroy Christianity. Then he called upon the Lord. But when he come face to face with God in that great light, but when God brought him out to the place and made him an apostle to the Gentiles. If you read the part of Paul in the Roman and then what the letters that Paul wrote, it was to the Gentile nation. My friend, you need to repent calling upon the name of the Lord, because you've got no monopoly on the kingdom of God. Except you repent, you will in all likewise perish. Hope we said something other that would encourage you. We appreciate those that have wrote to us. And we thank God for you, and we pray for you, and we desire you pray for us as we pray one for another. May God bless you and keep you and help you to understand where we're going and where we're going to wind up at if we don't follow after God. May God bless you and keep you, and our prayers are with you wherever you may be. May God bless you and keep you in our prayers as we pray one for another. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus, he took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus, to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do, take time out for Jesus, he took time for you. Sometime you may be in a hurry, you have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, he didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross. So off our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.